Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ. I'm in recovery from PTSD, pornography, seeking to find comfort in alcohol, and this week, a lot of selfishness. Great to be with you tonight. I ran a marathon for the first time years ago. You can tell it's been years. And I had been warned before I ran about hitting the wall. I really didn't know what that meant. But when I got to mile 20, my body just stopped working. I had 6.2 more miles to go to finish the race, but my body just quit on me. My mind was willing, my spirit was willing, but my body just didn't want to cooperate. And yet I knew I needed to finish. I'd hit the wall. I think the same principle applies to recovery. Maybe that's where you are tonight. Recovery's a marathon. Experience the transformation that God wants to bring us through Jesus is a lifetime of work. And maybe you're in that space where you've had a lot of momentum, you've got off to a good start, you've gained along the way, but you've hit the wall tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you about step 10, continue. We're continuing our study in the steps that define regeneration. And tonight, we're going to talk about continue. And let me give you a definition of what step 10 is all about. To continue means we continue to examine our lives, and when we sin, promptly confess and turn to walk with Christ. Let me say that again. Step 10, continue, is this. We continue to examine our lives, and when we sin, promptly confess and turn to walk with Christ. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about how do we keep moving on with the things that God is doing in us and through us. If you're here for the first time tonight, it may not feel like this yet, but you've come to the right place. My prayer for you is that before you leave tonight, you would find hope that you haven't had before. If you're approaching step 10, then I will preview the step for you. If you've been through step 10, then I will review it tonight. But I want us to look at a passage of scripture from Galatians chapter 6, because God has provided himself to us in a way as a resource that's going to help us to continue on. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Galatians. We're going to look at a few verses in chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, as soon as we're done tonight, come find us at the welcome desk. We'd love to give you a copy of the Bible. Galatians 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." The Bible teaches that God is a triune God. Three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in this passage of Scripture, we understand that to continue in our recovery, to continue in partnering in the process of transformation that God is doing in our lives through Jesus, we have the person of God the Holy Spirit indwelling us to help us. When you and I place our faith in Jesus, we receive as a gift of God his very Spirit. His Spirit indwells us, and in his Spirit, we are empowered to live a transformed life. So two things I want to point out to you from this text that the Holy Spirit does that will help us as we continue in our recovery. The first thing is this: the Holy Spirit empowers us to live for God and love others. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live for God and love others. Look at the phrases that we just read. We're to walk by the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're to live by the Spirit. The idea here is the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we do life with him as he works in us and through us, we are transformed. Now, we have desires that are competing. You ever feel that? I'm sure you feel that. That's why we're all here, right? There are desires in us that contradict the desires of the Holy Spirit. We have the desires of the Holy Spirit, new desires, desires that are governed by God for our good, and we have the old part of who we are. Sin in many ways is an entity that indwells us. And the Bible refers to this as the flesh. We have these competing desires, but God the Holy Spirit empowers us and imparts to us a desire, a new desire to love God and live for others. So important to me because, as I shared with you earlier, this week in particular, I'm struggling with selfishness. Now, that's not unique for me. That's been much the story of my life. Here's what the last few weeks have looked like for me and Kara. My wife, Kara, lost her mom 2 Sundays ago, a little over a year after she lost her dad. And the very next day, my mom, who is elderly, broke her hip and had to go to the hospital and has been in a hospital until today. She was transferred to a rehabilitation hospital. Between those events, we have had a funeral in Sweetwater, Texas, and invited family to come to that. And we snuck in a vacation on the right after the hurricane on the Gulf Coast. So in many ways, my life over the past few weeks has been focused on others, those that are grieving, taking care of funeral arrangements, doing the things that you do when someone dies, spending time with my mom in the hospital as she's trying to recover, even on vacation, which we love to go with our kids and our grandkids. We really do the things that they want to do. And so I've had to wrestle through this idea of, I just need a little me time. You ever feel that? I just want to do something that's on my agenda, my way, on my timeline that I want to do that maybe nobody else wants to do. Now, solitude's not a bad thing. We believe in solitude as a spiritual discipline. It's good for you to get away and be with Jesus. That's not a bad thing. But sometimes solitude can cross over into selfishness. And my motive was selfish. I need God the Holy Spirit to take the desire that I have to make all of life all about me all of the time and to change my desires so that I want to live for God and I want to live in a way that I love and care for and honor others. Here's the other thing the Holy Spirit does as we think about the step 10 continue. Look, if you will, with me one more time at verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What an interesting way to say this. We've talked about this before here on Monday nights, but one of the things that happens that's so fundamental to being a Christian, when you and I turn from sin and we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Holy Spirit is indeed the Spirit of Christ, and that means that you and I are united with Christ. Practically what that means is his life is our life, his death is our death, and ultimately his resurrection will be ours. We will be raised with Christ ultimately because we're united with him. But this also means that when Jesus died on the cross, you and I participated in his death in that the sinful nature with its desires and passions were crucified with him so that what God the Holy Spirit does is he takes all that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross and he practically applies it to our lives. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me to kill our sinful desires. That's the second thing the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit empowers us to kill our sinful desires. And the way in which he does it is really interesting. He doesn't always just take them away. What he does instead is he gives us a greater desire. So the way that you kill a desire is to have a greater desire, and the greater desire ultimately overshadows, outweighs, overcomes a lesser desire. You know what I've learned about being selfish? It's really no fun. You figured that out yet? There's much greater joy in living Jesus' way according to Jesus' plan for Jesus' glory than it is to live my way according to my plan for my glory. And so what I'm finding, I'm not there yet. Hear me out. You'll see this demonstrated sometime right in front of you. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfected yet. But I am progressively becoming more interested in, more desirous of Jesus' way than my own way. Maybe that's your story tonight. We want to continue. We don't want you to stop now. We want you to continue. And step 10 is all about continuing. The way in which we continue is when we sin, we confess our sin. And as we confess our sin, we turn from our sin and we trust in Jesus quickly so that we may walk with him. Now, how does that play out? What does that look like? When you and I turn from sin and we turn to Jesus, that act of turning from something to someone is called repentance. And when you and I turn from sin and trust in Jesus, by faith, we experience fresh empowering of God the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's who I need tonight. That's who I want to be active in my life. I learned something a lot about hitting the wall in the marathon after that first race years ago. I learned what actually happens when you hit the wall, and for most people, it's between miles 18 and 20. What your body does is it runs out of energy. So your mind is willing, your spirit is willing, your body just stops working rightly because your body is saying, no more, I'm done here, I have nothing left. The way you overcome the wall is you have to receive an external amount of energy. In other words, you have to intake energy. You have to take in, while you're running, liquids and carbohydrates so that you may be re-energized. You need an outside source of energy. I think that's exactly what happens in recovery. When you and I progress along God's plans for our life and we're making progress and we're doing well, we will get to this point where we've run out of steam. And what we desperately need is God the Holy Spirit to reinvigorate us, to revive us, to renew us, to refill us so that we have the energy we need. Now, I want you to know something else. I learned too in the marathon, the way that you get through the wall is the same way you got to the wall, and that is you just keep running. So after those miles came to an end, I'll never forget, I had cramps in my hamstrings, cramps in my quadriceps. And so when I'd stop to stretch my hamstrings, my quadriceps would cramp up. And so I kind of crossed the finish line. And I'll never forget, a little boy said, Mom, that man runs like Frankenstein, which really was the way I crossed the line. But I finished. But the only way I finished was to receive a source of energy that was outside myself. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? You need the Holy Spirit, don't you? I need the Holy Spirit, don't I? Here's what let's do. Let's pray right now, just where you are. And maybe what you need to do tonight is just invite the Holy Spirit to bring about a desire to live for God and to love others. So if that's where you are tonight, would you just pray that silently where you are? Just ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to live for God and love others. Maybe tonight as well, what we need is the Holy Spirit to empower us to kill our sinful desires. He's willing and he's able. Would you invite him to do that now? Simply ask the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you to give you a greater desire than your sinful desires. To put to death with Jesus on the cross those things that hold you back from loving God and loving others. Maybe you're here tonight, and for the first time, you understand what God has done for you in Jesus. Maybe tonight you want to ask the Holy Spirit to regenerate you, give you a new heart, give you new desires. Will you trust Jesus for the first time tonight? If so, just pray to him. Just pray to Jesus. Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a new life, a new heart, a new mind. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you're risen. Thank you as a free gift I can receive from you. Your right standing before God the Father. And if that weren't enough, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In your good name I pray. Amen. Step 10 is really about a cycle of wash, rinse, repeat. What step 10 really is about is doing steps 1 through 9 over and over again. We want to keep going. We want to admit, believe, trust, do inventory, confess, repent, follow, forgive, and amends. We want to keep going with this. I want to invite up to the stage now Chris Johnson, one of our leaders, who's going to share a great story of what God has done in his life through Jesus. Chris, would you come up? Would you welcome me? Welcome Chris as he comes up.